thing to love, and I just trust this morning that we continue to love truth, we can seek after truth, we can desire truth, and that we can be truth, want to be truth. God is truth. Thankful this morning very much for that. Also thought about Brother John was sharing about going out to the garden and looking at his plants, and I thought about the miracle of the seed. And, you know, we plant seed with the expectancy that it's going to sprout and it's going to grow. But every seed that happens is a miracle. It's life, but it's a miracle. Every single seed. It doesn't matter if it's even the weed seed that we have to chop down and cut out. It's a miracle. It's a miracle in itself. There's a lot of things there that cannot be explained, but we know it's a miracle. And we know that God created it, and it is the way He wants it to be. So we're thankful for that this morning as well. And there are a lot of things to be thankful for, and I trust that our hearts turn toward Him this morning. And thank you, brother, for the prayer there this morning. Brother Sherwin, appreciate that. We come here this morning trusting that God is in our presence, trusting that He is here, trusting that He can speak, trusting that we can hear Him, and trusted that way this morning as well. My thoughts this morning are centered around God's chosen people. A chosen people separated unto Him for unto holiness. So I ask this morning, where am I? Where I am in my walk with God? Where am I am in my relationship with Him? Is it the same as it was a year ago? Or am I at a different place than I was a year ago? Have I furthered that? Have I gone deeper? Where am I? Am I seeking holiness? Am I desiring to seek holiness? I ask these questions because I've been asking myself these things. It's been spawned by various circumstances in my own life. So I feel this call in my own heart this morning, and I'd like it to be a real call in each one of our hearts this morning. Maybe it already is. If it is, praise the Lord. We can rejoice together in that this morning, because someday every knee will bow before God. Every one of them. If it's not today, it will be one. So let's respond today. Separation from the world and holiness is my thoughts this morning. Am I separate in thought and word and deed? Am I holy in thought and word and deed? And so those are some of my thoughts this morning that we're going to embark on here, but I'd like to maybe have another prayer before I continue. Lord God, we thank You this morning for Your omnipotence, Your greatness, Father, for who You are. You have created the earth, the universe, and all there is. You have been here from forever, Lord, and You'll be here forever, Father. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts be bent toward You this morning, Lord. We see You as sovereign and almighty, and Father, that our hearts want to worship You, Lord. And not just worship You in mouth, but also in word and deed and heart, Lord, that You would have our hearts. Father, we need You. Lord, speak to us. Lord, we just pray that what is said here today will be truth to Your word, Lord. So, Father, we pray for wisdom, Lord. Father, we ask for Your presence here. Bless the people here, Lord. Bless each one of us, Lord. And we pray for Your work in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name. So I'd like to just open it up a little bit here. I'm just the chosen people look at God and what His desire is, the chosen people of God. God has chosen, he has picked, he wants a chosen people. And I believe he will have a chosen people, a people that he can call his own, a people that worship him, a people that know him. And I was just thinking about the word, I kind of skipped over my, there's a word, there's a Hebrew word that was coined after about 70 AD, I believe it was, and it's called Shekinah. Maybe some of you know what that is. It's the presence and the dwelling of God. Sometimes it's pronounced Shekinah. Shekinah, or it's a Hebrew word, and they use it frequently, but it's the divine dwelling of God, and it's the divine dwelling of God in a way that can be seen in physics, and physically seen. And so you take the Old Testament, you take the fiery cloud, pillar of fire, that would be an example of what they would call the divine presence of God in a physical way. And so I think about that, and I think God wants each one of us to be that. He wants to be that living, the indwelling Spirit of God, and that it can be seen in a physical way. It can be seen in many ways in the Spirit. So I just that word just kind of struck me this morning, and I thought that was a. I have a number of scriptures to read this morning here, and I'm gonna let it have the. I just want us to look to the authority of the scriptures this morning as well, and just thinking about a chosen people, and how God has chosen a people. And Deuteronomy we read, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." Talking to the children of Israel here, "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself and above all people that are upon the face of the earth. For thou art an holy," this is in Deuteronomy here again, different chapter. "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen there to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." And then Jesus says, recorded in John, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. If you were of the world would have loved his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you." And again, 1 Peter, a familiar verse, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So God has chosen each one of us before we chose him. He has chosen each one of us. He desires each one of us to be part of his special people. And he's chosen each one of us to be a vessel. And just as a little bit of a metaphor here, we think about the vessels in the temple, the vessels of in the Old Testament there. They were used, they were special, they're bowls and pitchers. And they were set apart exclusively in the temple for God's use. They're set apart exclusively for him. They were washed and dedicated, but never used for common everyday tasks. But they were chosen. We'll use that just as a little bit of a spiritual metaphor. In Titus, it talks about, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And so as we think about separation into holiness, the definition of holiness is separation. But I just want to think about the separation into holiness. And I'm gonna read, I'd like to read from my text chapter in the New Testament. I'd like to read out of 2 Corinthians. And then I'm also going to read, a little later on, I'm going to read an Old Testament chapter for an Old Testament lesson as well. And we'll circle back around here a little bit. Not exactly sure how to do this without backtracking a little bit here. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read the whole chapter here. Corinthians chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. For in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truth, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. My key verses here, we'll back up some, but my key verses here is, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now Paul wrote these. He didn't write these to the unbelievers. He wrote these to a church, a believing church that was struggling. And so this morning, I'm not here to say that I'm not teaching these in condemnation. I want to teach these in from a standpoint of pressing in, pressing on. There's more, we can go further. Let's go further. Let's go on. Let's go toward. Let's go further. And so the question is, separated unto holiness. And I thought I would probably, I'm going to work through the word separate, and then I'm going to work through holiness, and then we're going to circle back around and look at these verses again. Maybe have a little understanding. We already know. Just some scriptures here. Separation. Separating, be separate. To disunite, separate is to disunite, to divide. We all know what it means. I'm going to read it anyhow. To sever, to part, almost in any manner. Either things naturally or casually joined, the parts of a solid substance may be separated by breaking, cutting, or splitting by fusion. Decomposition or natural dissolution. The prism separates several kinds of colored rays, splits it into different directions. But division is a separation. And it's a very direct separation. My simplistic mind likes to think of examples. So I have this jar right here. separation of values. In Matthew 6:24, we read, Jesus teaches, you cannot serve God and mammon, illustrating the believer's priorities and our devotion must be entirely distinct from the worldly pursuits. Separation of purpose. In John 15:19, Jesus tells his disciples, because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you. Rather than advocating a physical isolation or withdrawing from society, we are called to a distinct, morally uncompromised lifestyle, prioritizing spiritual truth over worldly conformity. And it's not just a physical aspect, it's a heart. It's a heart that is separated. It's a heart that wants to be pure. It's a heart that wants to be holy. It's a heart that's separated unto holiness. In James it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So I'd just like to, just in separation and the verses we read, we are called out from it to be separate. We all know this, these are nothing new. But it's not just physically, but it's our heart, spiritually. And if we are with our heart, and if we are with pure of our hearts, and we're looking for holiness, I believe there'll be practical things in life that follow as well. And we will be accepted. Our love and our desire for the world, we trust, is not there. But our love for God, because if we're really seeking holiness, and we really want to be holy, and we're seeking holiness, and we want to serve God, and we want to be like Him, and He really, truly is our Master, then we're going to want what we have. And that's where our heart will be. It'll be steadfast towards Him. Separate. God's heart was always for His people to be separate from the beginning of time. When we separate, we usually leave something behind as well. But from the beginning of time, I would just like to turn to Deuteronomy 7. Old Testament here, and let's read what God's heart was from the beginning. And we're going to be looking at a holiness too. We look when Jesus, after God pulled His people out of Egypt, He wanted to teach them holiness and what He expected, and He also wanted to teach them a separation and the dangers that lie therein of not being separated. We think of Solomon. We know that Solomon went against God's will, and he brought many wives in from pagan and heathen lands that he conquered, and we saw that it drew his heart away from God. So let's read Deuteronomy 7 here. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, we can put this in a spiritual context, I trust, we can see this too. And hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter thou shalt take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, and above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, or choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, thousand generations. And he repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to them that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep them and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land and thy corn and thy wine and thine oil and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and I will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose of them? Dispossess them. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left, and hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and a terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou destroy them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver nor gold that is in them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Here this chapter clearly defines, very clearly, the Lord, we are to have no part with the things of this world. We are to have no part with our enemies. It will drag our heart away. He makes it very clear that this is God's part from the beginning of time, and it has not changed today. But he will be with us. He will lead us. He will direct us. He will guide us. that thing with holiness. Replace it with God. And so let's take a look at holiness. And we look at the whole scripture, and when you look at holiness, and we'll look at the definition of holiness a little bit, I want to say one thing. In Leviticus, I shouldn't say one thing, but I want to say something about Leviticus. It's a law. It's a book with laws in it. But God, the word holy is used more times in that book than any other book in the Bible. Because God was trying to teach his people what holy was. He wanted them to understand holy. He wanted them to understand things that were set apart for him. They were different than everything else. They were sacred. They were special. They were precious. I think when I looked at the Old Testament, 20% of it was in that one book. 20% of the word holy. I'm not going into detail how they were all used. That's the heart of God. In Hebrew, the holy word is kadesh, which means something which is cut off, separate, or set apart. So we're talking about separation to holiness, and holiness itself means separate or set apart. Something that is elevated out of the sphere, which is ordinary. In Greek, it also means set apart, in a class by itself, sacred, for special use, special. We look at the word sanctified, holy, consecrated, set apart for a special thing. If we are holy, we'll be separate. If we are seeking holiness, we'll be separate. We'll be set apart to God. Pure is another word. Pure is without blemish. Set apart, special. This water right here at the bottom is not pure, but it sure is separate. It has a little contamination there with it. If I had the right kind of jar, it probably would be pure. If you think of an animal, it's called the stoat, the weasel, Northern Europe. And this is, I think, a little bit of a myth. There's truth to it, but I think it's kind of maybe exaggerated just a little bit. But I'd like to share it with you anyhow. It's a little weasel-like animal. It's about this long. And in the wintertime, he gets a white coat. In the summertime, he gets a brown coat. In the wintertime, he gets a white coat because he lives in the snow and he can't be seen. But his hair is very thick because he lives in high elevations. And he's very protective over his coat. He doesn't want it to smell like him because of the enemy. And he doesn't want it to be dirty. It has to be pure white. And these little animals are very particular about having their coat very, very white. They're very clean animals. He instinctively protects his white coat against anything that would soil it for hunters to take advantage of the unusual trait. They don't set snares to catch these things. They'll take mud or dirt or something messy, and they'll find their hole, and they'll coat the inside of their hole. And then they'll have their dogs come in and chase them toward the hole. Round them up and chase them toward the holes, and they won't enter in because they'll get the coat. Now there's a little bit of controversy behind that, whether that's how far they would go. But the idea is they would actually give themselves up to the dogs than to get their coat. The frightened animal flees toward home but doesn't enter because of the filth. Rather, his soil is white coat. He is trapped by the dogs and captured while preserving his purity, his cleanliness. His cleanliness is more precious than life. Holiness, set aside, separated, pure. Sanctified, consecrated, holy. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Holy is the way to God. Some words by A.W. Tozer. He says, to be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. He is absolutely holy, with an infinite, incomprehensible fullness of purity that is incapable of being other than it is. He is holy. The holy man is not one who cannot sin. A holy doing it because we know it's the right thing to do. Maybe we are. But we do it because we want to. We can want to do it because it's the right thing. We do it because we want to. We understand who God is because He is holy. He is omnipotent. And we know someday we will bow at His feet. We know someday our knee will bend. We will be bending at His feet. So why do we do the things we do is a little bit of a question I have. The whole purpose of God in redemption is to make us holy, to restore us to the image of God. To accomplish this, He disengages us from earthly ambitions and draws us away from the cheap and unworthy prizes that worldly men set their hearts on. It's a separation. Real faith invariably produces a holiness of heart and a righteousness of life. He disengages us from earthly ambitions and draws us away from the cheap and unworthy prizes that worldly men set their hearts upon. Are we worldly? Are we totally separated from the world? We live in the world. How separated am I from the world? Is my heart pure? Is it holy? How separated am I? Are there things that I'm attached to? And these are some of the things that have been convicting me. What am I attached to? How does it hinder my relationship with God? How does it hinder my relationship with the rest of us? Beware of the flesh-powered version of holiness. We can set ourselves aside to look holy. We can do it in our own power. It's asceticism. It's not unto holiness. It's unto ourselves. I'm sure we've all experienced this. I'm sure we've all experienced it to some degree, or at least been tempted of it. In fact, we've heard testimonies where people have tried to be holy. They've tried to be righteous on their own, and it doesn't work. It fails. It can fail miserably. In Leviticus, again, here we'll read, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the children, congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. God desires us to be a holy people. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Ye shall be holy. I have severed you. I have separated you from other people, that ye should be mine. The Lord possesses us. He's jealous. He wants all of us. He doesn't want just a piece of us. He wants all of us. What does that look like in our hearts? What does that look like? What do we have to do? Maybe we'll get to some of that here yet. Thinking about holy and the Lord God, how holy He is and how majestic He is. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with a twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy is properly whole, entire, perfect in a moral sense. Perfectly pure, immaculately, complete in moral character. And man is more or less holy as his heart is more or less sanctified, purified. A man is holy when his heart is conformed to the image of God and his life is regulated by the divinity of God. Holy. I wonder how often do we no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him and said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth. And the Pharisees also, which were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And Jesus said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Powerful verses there. So now, if we could, we looked at holiness a little bit. We looked at separation. I'd like to go back and look at some verses back here in 2 Corinthians, our original text. I'd like to take a look at some of those verses there if we could. A little closer. 2 Corinthians 6. Like to start with, if we could, with verse 11 again, and take a look at some things here. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, ye also, but be ye also enlarged. So here in verse 14, we read, this is a separation, but ye are not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, and he gives some examples here of a separation, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It makes me think of these two little magnetic dogs I have. About yay big. But sometimes I'll let Obi play with a little bit in church. Many of you, some of you probably know what they are. But you can hold them together right and they'll snap together. And if you turn them around, you try to hold them together, and they'll just repel each other. And it makes me think about that. When we look at some of these verses right here, and it says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The whole idea of trying to push us together made me think of those dogs repelling each other. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So starting in 16 there, I want to point out about seven promises there are in those two couple verses there. Seven promises if we separate ourselves and become holy unto the Lord. He has promises there for us. In verse 16 he says, For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. He will dwell in us. Promise number one. He will walk in them. He will walk with us. Number three, I will be their God. Number four, they shall be my people. There's ownership there. God is taking ownership of them, of us. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's a welcoming. He's receiving us. And there will be a father unto you. He will be our father. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There's seven promises right there that God has promised us if we live that holy life separated from the world. We look at verse 17 there. It says, Wherefore come out from among them. Come out, escape, depart. Remove yourself from them. Be ye separate. To set off a boundary, to create a boundary, to limit, exclude, to sever. I like that word, sever. Saith the Lord. This is the Lord saying this. To be separate. let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have these promises, dearly beloved. That word dearly, that word beloved there is agape, it's a love, the love He has for us. And so here we're called be separated unto God, separated unto holiness, removing all filthiness, abstaining from the filthiness of the flesh, and perfecting in holiness to God. When we are separated unto God and holiness and actively pursuing it, I believe our confidence in God will grow. I believe our boldness will grow. We'll be bold, and there'll be confidence there. It's a sanctification process that happens. And the more we experience it, the more we'll have it. And the more that we, God will give us that power. That's His promises here. Am I actively pursuing holiness? It's a question I have. Am I set apart? Or am I hanging on to some carnality and some lust of the world? Or am I actively pursuing it? Am I trying to get holier? Am I okay with where I'm at today? Or am I pursuing that? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It's easy for us to justify what we believe. It's easy for us to justify what we want. It's easy for us to be okay if we hear something that we want, even though it's not true. If it sounds good and it feels good, how do we know? Is it holy? Is it set apart from the world? The challenge that I have for myself is when I make decisions and choices sometimes, why do I make the choices and decisions I make? Have I separated myself? Am I doing it? Has it passed testing the spirits? Has it passed the test? I was just talking to a brother yesterday, a brother out of state, and he was sharing with me how he was communicating. He had been communicating this past week or last week, I don't know when it was, sometime recently, with someone, and he was in disbelief at how non-resistance, the belief of non-resistance, had been compromised. And he just couldn't understand it. He asked me, he says, how did it happen? How did this man? And so I question myself, where am I going? What direction am I going? What am I seeking? Have I separated myself? Am I pursuing holy? Am I pursuing that separating apart from the world toward God? Where am I? Am I actively looking for ways to give God the best that I have? Am I spiritually holy? I will be separate from the world in practical ways. My desires will not be for the world. Where is my desire? What am I actively seeking after? What does it look like? I would like to challenge each one of us. Every time we make a choice and decision, can we run it past a test? Why do I make the choices I do? Because it will lead us in a direction. It will lead us in a direction. There's many catches to carnality that I don't think we recognize. I think there's many things that we can be caught up in, possibly, that we don't realize. Self-beauty, self-reputation, self-promotion, self-talents, money, making money for self. All those words have self in them, notice. In fact, I would like to, just real quickly here, look to the rest of you here a little bit. If we can think of some things, can be reasons. There can be reasons behind the fun that we have. Anyone else have anything? Prospering business. Why is prospering business? Why is it a pool? There's something in us that wants to prosper. There's nothing wrong with prospering, but prospering our business in lieu of probably something else. What's that? Self. There's a lot of things that can go under self. Feeding self. We're pretty good at protecting self. We're pretty good at taking care of self. We can make money for self. We can go on trips for self. What about just the basics of money? How do we spend our money? Do we spend it on self? Do we spend it on something that's, or why do we do it? You know, I would like to think, and money is one of them I've been thinking about here too, because it's easy for us to spend money on self, and yet holiness would have us to do the best that we can do and make the money for the benefit of the king or the benefit of someone else. Is that right? Is that holiness? Severing apart. The world does not believe that way. The world's going to go and spend it on themselves, right? Can we spend it on somebody else or something else? The kingdom that would help promote the kingdom? It'll be a blessing to somebody else's life rather than feeding our own carnality. All we want to do is pleasure ourselves. All these are that same way. Anyone else have some more? Clothing? Yes, clothing. Thank you. Clothing to beautify ourselves. Once again, it's self. We're trying to exalt self. We want to be seen. We want to be noticed. Music. Comfort and ease. Yes, we pamper ourselves, don't we? We pamper ourselves. I do. I should be remorseful for some of that. Some of the effort we take to pamper ourselves, effort could be put somewhere else. I just wonder how many things there are. And we could probably sit here all day and come up with a longer list. We could fill that whole board up with things that, with items, that do not portray, do not bring God glory, but they bring us glory. They bring us the things that the flesh wants, the carnality of what we want. But God has called us away from those things. He's called us to a higher place, holy. One that's true. God is true. He is holy. He's sacred. He's. There is no fault in Him, and so it's just a call to just to challenge ourselves a little bit. And when I make a decision on clothing and music, money, self, and how I do these things, and comfort and ease, why do we make those decisions? Why have I made this decision over this one? Why have I chosen to spend my money here and not here? Why have I chosen this music over this music? And maybe there are good reasons. I trust we're all headed in the right direction. I trust we all want that. We all want that holiness in our lives where we can live more pure and more right. My self-reputation. Non-resistance is another one I thought about. I didn't think about it. This brother reminded me of that, of non-resistance. How quick am I to protect the things that I call my own that aren't my own? holy. He wants us to be righteous. He wants to be like him. He tells us that in the scriptures over and over. He told the children of Israel. He spent lots of time and energy just telling them what he wants out of them. I've delivered you from the Egyptians. I've delivered you out of bondage. I've delivered you out of slavery. I opened wide the Red Sea and you walked through. Didn't you see what I've done for you? And then they want the same old crud they had before. They want to go back into Egypt. I shouldn't say crud, but they want to go back into bondage, so to speak. They forgot what they were delivered from. Have we forgotten what we've been delivered from? Or do we want to go back in? Or do we want more of it? More delivery. More holiness. More separation. The word that comes to me this morning, the word that I've actually been challenging myself with, I should say, has been the word compromise. Am I compromising my walk with God with the world? Is there a clear separation like there is here? Or am I living a compromised life? I don't think it's going to work. It's not going to work for you. Are we? Am I? Just a question I have for us. In Matthew, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' words. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me this day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, to this is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And when we think about that, everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, then will I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Is that holiness powered by flesh possibly? We've done things on our own. We've tried to look good. We've tried to be good. But yet, there's no connection with God. We've done all these things hoping. But we have not separated ourselves. We're doing it for the wrong reasons. In Revelation it says, but I have a few things against thee, referring to the church of Pergamos, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also to them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receiveth. The doctrine of Balaam. It's also recorded in 2 Peter and also in Jude. The New Testament comes back to Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. What is the doctrine of Balaam? Religious compromise. It's compromise. I don't want to call it religious, but it is a compromise for truth. It's a compromise for holiness. Balaam, in action, obeyed God, that his heart was Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is also able to save your souls. But ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. These are familiar verses, I know, but I'm going to turn to Ephesians 5 and read a few verses. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, and all goodness, and righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There is a separation and a walk toward holiness. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved is made manifest by the light of whatsoever, for whatsoever doth make it manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Again there in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Pure. I'm thinking about pure. A pure heart. There's many scriptures we could go through relating to purity and holiness. Again, you are a chosen generation. We are chosen. We're set aside. We're a vessel. Each one of us is a vessel in God's hand. Don't ever think that we haven't been created for a purpose. God's created each one of us for a purpose. And we are a vessel in his hand, and he wants to use us in a very special way. Your people, that we can show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So this morning, once again, it's just to encourage us, challenge us, question ourselves, where am I? Where am I in this? Am I seeking holiness? Am I striving to be holy? Or am I trying to keep one foot here and one foot here? We can do that without knowing it. And that's why I challenge us to make, challenge the decisions that make. I'm trying to learn to do that myself more and more. Am I seeking holiness? Do I desire holiness? Is it attractive to me? Do I desire it? Do I want to be closer to it? Does it thrill me? Does it thrill me? Does the idea of being apart from the world and being in God's presence, the holiness of God's presence, does that run thrill to us? Is it something that's attractive to us? Something we want to be a part of? Is it attractive? Eternity is a long time. I was just talking to someone the other day, and you know, when we get to heaven, you know, there's all this talk about gold streets. I don't believe that if we're a sanctified saint, the streets of gold won't be a thing. It's our blessed Savior. And I can just imagine, though, if we were to put it, just to think about the saints of God. And I know it's not going to be like this, but just to put it in a little perspective, maybe we can understand. I'm going to go over to Brother Andy's place for a million years. Then I'm going to go over and visit Brother Nathan for a million years. I know that's not how heaven's Father, they told you